Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The music you're hearing is that of the Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble playing Andrew Duncan's Tin Tin Arumba. MHE Ringers stop by the Lake Effect studio ahead of their 10th anniversary concert next week. Concordia University music teacher Dr. John Benke leads the group. He is also music editor for the Handbell Musicians of America's publishing arm and a bell composer. Speaking to Lake Effect's Amy Kiley, he explained the history of the instrument.
Bells started a long time ago with bells in the towers of churches that would toll the time or signal various things that were taking place. Churches started to come up with their own patterns to identify themselves, like Westminster chimes. And these patterns, instead of practicing them to the whole community using the bells in the towers, people came up and decided, well, I can make smaller bells, and these bells then we could practice in other spots. Sometimes they are practiced in taverns and pubs. We've found out that we can play all sorts of different music on these bells with all sorts of different techniques.
And since this is radio, can you describe to listeners what a handbell looks like and how it produces sound?
There's a metal casting that takes place, and that's of a bronzed alloy. And inside there's a clapper that goes one distance, actually. It allows you to strike on one side, basically. And it has a handle underneath where your hand can actually grab the bell. And then you can actually bring it to the shoulder to be able to ring one direction or the other as you play.
What is this other equipment that we see here in the studio?
We have hand chimes that are here, and you'll hear those. We have mallets. We have foam underneath the tables, which is crucial for damping and some of the stop sounds that we use. And we have dowels for our singing bell that we use. Those are just wooden dowels. You can actually go to the lumber yard and just cut them in foot lengths, and then you'll be amazed at the sound that they produce.
What is the basic manner of producing and stopping sound with a handbell, and can you demonstrate that for us?
It's with a wrist motion primarily, and then an arm motion after that to carry the sound, and the damping of the bell is done by the shoulder. And the damping, actually, when you think about it, you would say, which is more important, the ringing or the damping? It's really the damping, because without the damping, all the sounds just blur together, and it becomes quite indistinguishable at times. So we can demonstrate the basic ring and damp for you, if you like. We can play that on the hand chimes so you can hear a difference. The hand chimes actually look like large tuning forks. They have an opening, a slot, a tine, it's called, in the center, and a clapper with a mallet head on the top so to be able to play. And it's played in the same manner as the handbell, just has a different sound. One of the things that we've discovered as we go through it, we used to use the instruments separately, and now in the more advanced literature, we actually start to interweave these. You can ring with the bells, and the chimes can come in with a different tone color and timbre, which is lovely to distinguish a different melody in a lower range or an upper range and contrast the two together, which is kind of cool to do.
What are some other techniques that you can demonstrate for us?
Another one is to actually just shake the bell. It's a rapid repeating, right, a rapid striking. And we can also do a swing, which actually is like the bell in the tower that swings. And you'll hear the Doppler effect that takes place of the sound. After you strike it, it comes down and goes up. And pulling the bell against the air like that, what you say, changes the wavelength and creates a kind of a bend in the sound. So this will have the shakes and the swings to it.
And what's another technique that you could demonstrate?
Another one is an echo ring, we call it. Years ago, it was called a wah-wah. After you strike, you touch the edge of the casting to the foam, And it has just enough to kind of bend the sound a little bit as you go. But the handbell world thought, wow, wow, it doesn't quite sound very educated and distinguished. So they changed it to the echo ring instead. So we'll do an example of that here. Another possibility is actually to take the bell and you hit it into the foam in a, what would you say, a little bit more vigorous way. It's called a martellato. It's kind of a punctuation point. I mean, all these techniques were invented by ringers, probably experimenting. This one might have been a ringer who got upset, you know, and took the bell and just hit it into the foam, and then a composer said, I can use that sound. That can punctuate from various in a various way. So these are martellatos, and we'll do a different piece. An excerpt of a piece called Scherzo, and we can use the martellato in that. Another technique that we can use is thumb damps. This is mostly used for the upper bells because with the hand being around the casting, the thumb can come up on the side and put a little pressure on it. And it is another stop sound, but it's not as stopped as some of the other ones. It's a kind of a little variation of it. You're going to hear this, the thumb damps in the upper notes, and you'll hear basic ringing in the bass notes. Another one is we have mallets, and these are actually more recent, but we can use mallets to hit, I mean, just like percussionists do, because handbells are actually a percussion instrument. So we'll use mallets in a section of a different piece. This is called Festive March, and we'll try the mallets on this. Lastly, we can use a technique called the singing bell. The singing bell is a technique that in Nepal or Tibet has been used for singing bowls, where you take an instrument around the outside of the rim of the bell. We can use these wooden dowels that we have, and we can go around the outside of the bell, and we can create these. It's called a singing bell technique. The sound, after going around the edge for a while, eventually the sound will just blossom out of the metal. And it's amazing the way the sound develops like this. So we'll start it from scratch, and then you can hear this chord start to develop. One of those sounds that you can listen to for a long, long time, and it's just beautiful.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for playing all of that. For the upcoming Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble concert, I know you have a special guest who's here, so would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Dean Borgasani. I'm the principal timpanist of the Milwaukee Symphony.
What instruments will you be playing during the Handbell Ensemble's spring concert?
Well, I'll be playing hand drums, drum set as well. Timpani, that's what I do. And just a lot of surprises.
Surprises. And this question is for both of you, John Benke. I know that you composed some pieces for this collaboration. Can you both talk about pitch as it relates to percussion instruments? As you said, handbells are percussion instruments. How will pitch be a factor when you play drums with the handbells? And how is pitch a factor in general in percussion instruments?
The pitch instrument that I'll be playing, it will be timpani. Those are pitched kettle drums. And one piece, the Great Gate of Kiev, this is going to be a tremendous experience. To have punctuated bass lines with the timpani, two trumpets, and this marvelous handbell choir should just supply an incredible amount of sound. But yes, I do play in tune, that you can tune the drums to pitches. And then there's also bells, orchestral bells that are tuned as well. But most of the other percussion instruments are indeterminate pitches.
And can you explain to listeners who might not know what that is and what the difference is?
Well, just a drum, you know, if you hit a snare drum, you know, it has no pitch. It has a timbre, but it's an indeterminate pitch.
And so, John Behnke, when you were composing a piece that had to collaborate between the two, how did you have to take into account pitch of the percussion instruments, that some have it and some don't, and how would you write for that?
Normally with timpani, they either have three or four timpani to work with, and they are pitched at certain intervals. I mean, there's a distance that they can go, not too much further. So knowing the instrument a little bit, trying to figure out, okay, which four pitches can we use to be able to improvise? And we have a piece called Rhythmic Rip number 2, which will have a place where the high bells will get to improvise in a spot, and the middle bells and the low bells, and then Dean gets a chance with the four pitches of the timpani to kind of improvise in a jazz style in there too, which I'm looking forward to, because we want to see him go crazy on the timpani, which will be a lot of fun.
Can you explain too how each handbell has a pitch, and what is the octave system for handbells?
Handbells are a transposing instrument. So, for instance, middle C, which is notated for us as middle C, is actually an octave higher than middle C on the piano or, you know, with the voice. So they're pitched one octave higher from what is actually notated in the music. I mean, we're in a small studio here, so we don't really have all the instruments that we'll have at Concordia. And we have even lower instruments that go down with the low chimes that go down for seven octaves. So you're going to hear some almost sounds like organ pipes at certain times, the bass sounds that occur. It'll be quite a magnificent sound, the array, the sonic spectrum of sound that can take place with the bells and the chimes together.
Dean Borgesani, using your percussionist's ear, what do you recommend our radio listeners try to pick up when they hear handbell music?
You just have to take in the whole thing as one masterpiece of art, as in a picture. The expression was seeing the forest through the trees or trees through the forest. You have to take it all in. If you've never experienced a concert of handbells, there's nothing like it.
Timpanist Dean Borgesani, Dr. John Behnke, and Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble, thank you so much for coming down to Studio C.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble Director John Behnke and Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra Principal Timpanist Dean Borgesani spoke with Lake Effect's Amy Kiley. MHE ringers demonstrated on the instrument, and John Strelecki engineered. You're hearing a recording of the group performing Nancy Haskell's Waltz Fantasy. The Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble, in fact, will hold its 10th anniversary concert at Concordia University on May 10th. Borgesani will join them. Behnke's student handbell group, the Alleluia Ringers, will perform this Sunday at Concordia. Information on both concerts is at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That's Friday's Lake Effect. We are produced by a team of professionals. Even in light of our handbell segment, I will refrain from calling them dingalings. Dan Harmon, Bonnie North, Stephanie Lecce, Amy Kiley, and Eleanor Peterson, who almost single-handedly got today's show radio ready. Thanks, Eleanor. John Strelecki is our studio engineer. I'm Mitch Tyke. Have a great weekend, and I sure hope you'll make us a part of it. Lake Effect Weekend is Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock.